It's the Gadget Grill on Radio 2 RDJ FM. We're at 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at radio2rdj.com. Welcome to the show. Hi there. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz, and sitting in the studio with me is none other than...
Oh, I get to say my name before the nickname.
Yeah. Hi, hang on. Let me get your microphone up.
Ah, there we go.
There we go. That's much better.
Yes. Hi, I'm Jason Murray again.
You are indeed. You still are Jason Murray.
Yes. I was Jason Murray before.
And
I'm probably still going to be Jason Murray next week.
We'll check the tag on the back of your sweater.
Okay.
Yeah, because that usually works, doesn't it? How are you, mate?
I am good. I am a year older. It was my birthday yesterday listening on Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Mr. Murray.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot of important people have their birthdays in May.
Well, at least one that I know of.
Well, two that you know of.
Ah, well, yes, true.
Yes. So, how long did it take you to sober up?
I didn't go out and party or anything. What I did do was go out and spend a long time at Vivid last night, wielding four smartphone cameras for a bit of a shootout.
Oh!
So we can talk about that a little bit later. One of them has only just been announced this week as well.
Okay.
Bleeding edge technology there.
Okay, that's good. What have I done? I went to a release on Wednesday that I can't talk about until midnight.
Or a couple of days ago if you're listening on Tuesday, but we will talk about that next week.
That's right. Apart from that, it's been a relatively quiet week. I've gone out, played a bit of music, had a bit of fun.
Yeah, just going back to the embargo thing.
Yes.
This week is actually the week that the longest embargoes I've ever experienced as a tech journalist have hit. Normally, I'll go to an event and it'll be, you can't write about this until tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But this week, there were two events that occurred that have an embargo of, like, Monday.
Yeah.
So we can't talk about them on Sunday night, which is a little bit annoying.
It's actually very annoying.
Just know that the news has already been written for next week.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And any of those stories that you see tomorrow about the stuff that we're going to talk about next week, we weren't allowed to talk about it today.
That's how embargoes work.
That's how it is, yeah. And you got to keep trust with the embargoes, because otherwise they won't let you play with the toys.
We do like playing with toys.
Indeed. Indeed, we do.
It's kind of the whole foundation of the show.
Yes. It is. It is, actually. I'll tell you something a little bit later, but we'll play a bit of music first.
Ah, spoilers.
I know. It's a teaser. I'll play some music and we'll see if you can guess where we're going with the music through the show. How does that sound?
Ominous, and I'm a little bit scared.
Okay. I'll give you a clue. 50 years. Okay. So all you got to do is figure out what happened 50 years ago. This is David Bowie and Space Oddity.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. 10. Ground control 9, to Major Tom.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lift off.
This is ground control to Major
And welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, Radio 2, RDJ.com on the internet. It is time for the news. Jason, would you care to lead off with your first piece of news for us?
Yeah, I've got a couple of interesting big pieces of news. I'm going to start off with one that we mentioned last week, ZTE, or ZTE as we like to call them in these parts. They're back in business with the USA.
Yes, I know, I heard.
So we talked about this last week. The company has basically shut down and hunkered down and tried to stop as many outgoing expenses as possible while they wait for a deal to be brokered to get out of a 7-year trade ban that was imposed on them by the US, which would have prevented them from using any US products or licensing any US technologies, which would include some parts of Android, which are important for their phones, and a lot of licenses and technology that is important for their infrastructure business, essentially shutting the company down. Today, we heard that a deal has been reached, and ZTE will pay a massive fine. I believe it goes into the billions. They
can afford it.
Well, yeah, sure. It's going to put the price of their phones up, okay? They have to hire American compliance regulators, and they will be required to undergo a bit of a reshuffle at the top in senior management, which is kind of where the original problem started.
Indeed.
So we are expecting that ZTE will slowly ramp its businesses back up around the world in hopefully the next week or two.
Indeed we shall. Indeed we do. Optus this week got into a little bit of trouble.
Yes, they did. And so did Telstra, in fact. But let's go with Optus first.
Yeah. And I remember when this was happening, when Optus started talking to their NBN customers, people who'd been moved on to the NBN. They had NBN available. And Optus started sending them letters saying, you've got 1 month to move your service over to the NBN. And, of course, the actual time frame was 18 months to 2 years.
Yes, excellent.
They also made it appear in the letters that they were sending out that you had to move to an Optus, an NBN provider.
And why wouldn't you make it seem that way if you're Optus, right?
Well, because it's against the law. Maybe?
No, that's never stopped anyone.
They've been fined
One and a half dollars.
$1.5 billion.
Billion?
Dollars,
yes. Billion?
Optus got million, fined. Sorry, right, million. Okay. $1.5 million.
That first letter's important.
Yes. $1.5 million for misleading thousands and thousands of NBN customers. Naughty, naughty, Mr. Optus.
Naughty.
And Telstra, apart from the fact that they've had their third outage in May, their third May outage in May, what else happened with Telstra, please, Mr. Murray?
Telstra got a slap on the wrist for using the word unlimited in its advertising their new unlimited plans, ironically enough. The finding was that the use of the term unlimited was not really accurate, since they do limit your data speed, and there were not enough caveats placed around the advertising campaign. The advertising campaign used the phrase one word for Australia's best network, unlimited, which probably should have had an asterisk and several footnotes underneath it was found.
Which is more than one word.
The best part about that is that the action was actually brought about by Optus. So Optus is going to seek to pay off some of their $1 million fine.
Anything you can do, I can do worse.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. While we're talking about NBN, they are killing off the 100 megabits per second on fixed wireless.
They are, yes. After saying that all of their customers will be able to reach it, they've now decided that about half of them won't.
Yeah, exactly. Our government has done a wonderful job of totally screwing up running the NBN into the ground.
I believe that was the same thing.
That's exactly what I said. Next story, please, Mr. Murray.
HTC is back.
You already said that.
No, I didn't. HTC has a brand new phone on the market.
Sorry, you said ZTE.
Yes, HTC, ZTE, they're all...
I'm getting my T's confused.
Yeah, there's a few different things on either side of the T. HTC this week announced the U12 Plus. There is no normal U12, but they want the U12 Plus to be known as its premium pro flagship model. It's got a 6-inch... A 6-inch screen. There is no notch in it, but it does have a 1:2 18:9 aspect ratio display. It's got a gorgeous liquid surface finish on the back, just like last year's U11, which, as you will recall, I was very fond of.
Yes.
And they've also increased their prowess in the pressure sensitivity stakes.
Right.
It's the return of Edge Sense, the squeezable features on the phone.
Oh, I love squeezing.
It was pretty fun, wasn't it?
Yes.
But this time, there's no actual physical buttons. But there are raised areas on the phone that look like buttons, but they're actually pressure sensitive.
Oh.
It does.
So these are Clayton's buttons. The buttons you have when you're not having a button.
Maybe, yes. I do have a U12 Plus. It does take a little bit of getting used to with the buttons. But the big thing that I've been really looking forward to with this phone is it is HTC's first dual camera flagship phone.
Right.
And so very, very impressively, they've come in second on the DxOMark leaderboard rankings. Regardless of whether or not you believe what DxOMark says about cameras and their rankings and leadboards, it's still sort of it's at least some kind of a ranking and a somewhat impartial view of a camera's performance. So, I have been taking the U12 Plus around Sydney's Vivid Festival and taking a few photographs.
And we'll be talking more about that momentarily.
Light and sound, yes. It's quite a nice phone to have in the hand.
Okay. Uber. Remember about a month ago, there was an accident featuring an Uber self-driving car.
Yeah, which they're not officially on the road yet either. Like they're not really taking passengers. It's just technology that
they're developing.
And
in this particular case, there was a lady crossing a road with a bicycle, and the car hit the lady crossing the road with a bicycle, and she died. Very unfortunate incident. There's the NTSB in America has come out with a report on this accident. And first of all, Uber had disabled the emergency braking that was installed in the car. Now, the car was a Volvo and it has emergency braking installed.
Because it's a Volvo.
Because it's a Volvo.
And because it's a car that legally runs on the road, yes?
Yeah. And they had disabled the emergency braking system. And they were relying upon the person who is in the driver's seat, who has their hands on the wheel at all times and is paying attention to the road.
And what were they doing?
They were relying on that person to also be aware of, to be aware of the surroundings and what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's a self-driving car. It's a technology test, right?
So, exactly.
Yeah.
And so they're relying on the person in the vehicle to... monitor everything that's happening and, if necessary, in an emergency, apply the brakes.
They're meant to use their, trained reactions and, very skilled driving to pilot the car and in case something goes wrong. What did go wrong?
Well, the responsibility for hitting the brakes was left with the safety driver, who was paying attention to her phone.
Excellent.
At the time of the accident.
Was she ordering an Uber to get her home after the car had an accident?
At 1.3 seconds before the impact, the computers in the car determined that there was going to be a collision. The car determined...
This is good, actually, because the computer was right.
The computer was right. The computer determined that it actually saw the lady crossing the road about 6 seconds before the impact. And in the meantime, the person who was supposed to have her hands on the wheel at all times...
Failed.
And the person was paying attention to her phone.
It wasn't a self-driving car fail, it was the supervision fail.
Well, it was the supervision fail, except for the fact, of course, that they also had disabled the emergency braking, which would have prevented the accident.
So when you say disabled, you mean they didn't allow the car's AI to use the emergency brake?
Correct.
Right, okay.
Which I think is pretty bloody stupid.
It is quite silly.
It is quite silly. While we're on self-driving vehicles, I have another one here. because there was a car.
All the self-driving cars. Usually it's me with the self-driving car.
This is a Tesla this time that crashed while in autopilot mode in Utah. And it actually accelerated in the seconds before it smashed into a stopped fire truck.
I reckon these AI-driven cars, they're getting programmed to get away from the scene of the crime as soon as possible.
Yeah. The data shows that it picked up speed for 3.5 seconds shortly before crashing into a stopped fire truck. Police suggested that the car was following another vehicle and dropped its speed to 55 miles an hour to match the leading vehicle. Then they say that the leading vehicle probably changed lanes and the Tesla automatically sped up to its preset speed of 60 miles an hour without actually observing that there were cars stopped ahead of it. And whack.
Yeah, it hasn't been a good week for Tesla either. They've had to submit a settlement for a class action lawsuit in the States over their self-driving autopilot feature.
Yeah.
And the speed with which they've been rolling it out.
Yeah. So that's that story. Next one from you, please, Jason.
Virgin Mobile.
Who?
Virgin Mobile.
Who?
Virgin Mobile.
Who are they?
Virgin Mobile is an MVNO that's attached to Optus. They are a fully owned Optus subsidiary, but they
license... For how much longer?
For not very long. They license the Virgin name from Virgin Corporation.
Right.
And it seems that they're going to stop doing that. So Virgin Mobile is going to go away. If you didn't realise that it's a brand that's owned by Optus, well, good, because that's kind of their intention. But all of the Virgin Mobile customers will be contacted by Optus, and there'll be a migration into the Optus network as Optus customers. So there are a number of options that are available to you if you are on Virgin Mobile, and you may wish to switch to another carrier. See how you go.
Indeed, you got another couple of stories for us, Jason.
Let me open up the story list, and I'll have a look and see what I've got. I do have a couple of things. Sony has put out a 4-year plan detailing where they want the company to be, what technical advances they want to do, and what products they want to have on the market.
Okay.
This 4-year plan was notable for not including a major product that they currently have on the market.
Ooh.
The PlayStation 4 is going to go bye-byes pretty soon, it seems.
Interesting.
Sony refreshed the PS4's hardware to give it a bit of a boost to its lifespan last year, I believe it was, and it looks like they're saying that the PS4 is pretty much almost done, it's probably going to be replaced by another console in the next couple of years.
Okay.
So it looks like the PS5 might be on the horizon.
Okay, one more if you please.
One more. I don't know which of these stories is more amusing, but let's talk about Pornhub.
Pornhub. Okay.
The popular adult destination online, they've launched a VPN service this week called VPN Hub. So you can subscribe to VPN Hub just when you really don't want people to know which websites you're browsing.
Which would most likely be porn sites.
If someone notices that you're using VPN Hub, there's probably not much of a guess as to where you're going.
If they know about VPN Hub, of course.
It's an interesting service, though. There's a free ad-supported tier for their VPN service. And if you upgrade for $13 a month, then you get faster speeds and you also get access to exit nodes in other countries. So you can pretend to be... I believe VPN Hub's... servers are all in the States unless you go into the premium tier, in which case they're around the world.
Okay.
I've got one more.
Okay, please. Yeah.
Donald Trump. That's it. That's all I got. Now, Donald Trump is well known to be a prolific blocker.
Yes. No more.
Well, not really, but it has been found... I believe it was one of the U.S. courts. I'm not sure which court
it was. The Supreme Court.
It was the Supreme Court. That's a big case. Donald Trump blocking a user on Twitter may be a violation of that user's First Amendment rights.
Absolutely.
So Twitter a couple of months ago caused waves by saying that they're not going to ban Trump because... he's the U.S. president. He's a person of global importance.
Global importance.
So whatever he says, they're not going to ban his account. But now that they've identified that there's a class of users who are of global political import, maybe they might start applying some other restrictions to those accounts, like the inability to block users.
Well, indeed, indeed. That's actually an interesting judgment because it doesn't actually affect the individual. Like, if you get blocked by somebody, you can still tweet.
It doesn't affect your right to say things. Your ability to tweet.
It just affects, his ability to read it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that I actually agree with that particular ruling.
But it also depends whether or not that free speech, you have the right for your free speech to be heard by the President of the USA.
Well,
which
that's,
I suspect is where they're coming down.
Yeah, but that's a... I don't know that that comes under free speech.
Maybe. We're not going to solve it now, so let's move on.
Well, because, just finishing that up, of course, any politician is free to choose whichever advisors he wishes to listen to.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I'm sorry, Jason, but you've been blocked and he's not going to listen to you anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's great when I've been blocked by people on Twitter.
Right.
It's very satisfying.
Okay, this is Sherbet and Silvery Moon.
Do we have we found a theme yet? I don't know.
Well,
we'll keep going. Greetings, listener. You are back with this show on this radio station. Unfortunately, we have updated our privacy policy and we can't actually disclose the name of the show or the name of the station to you until you agree to our terms and conditions in order to continue listening.
We're going to make you an offer you cannot refuse.
Gary, do you agree to my new privacy policy?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. I'll see you later.
I'm having an argument. We're having an argument with an organisation at the moment where we want them to give us a copy of video that was taken from their video cameras on a public street. And they're arguing that they can't give it to us because of privacy.
Yeah, it's funny that.
But the only problem with that is...
It's public.
It's public. People on a public street, there is no privacy on a public street.
So let me ask you.
Yes,
I
will.
How many emails, without violating your privacy,
yes?
How many emails have you received in the last week regarding privacy policy updates? How many devices have shown you privacy policy updates?
How many devices? That's an interesting question.
Let's go with the emails first.
We'll go with the emails first. And I'm going to use a technical term here. This is a well-known technical term that we do use in the Gadget Grill. And in fact, we use this in software development
Is this how we count?
This is how we count. It is officially classed as a shitload.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that's... I don't know if you know this. Primitive counting... Since you've opened up the floodgates, primitive counting, people would have one, two, or three of something,
yes.
And then they would have many.
Yes.
And apparently kings got tired of not having a quantifiable number under many, and so the concept of shitloads was introduced.
Exactly.
Now, exactly. If you've noticed looking at your email this week that you've been getting a lot of privacy policy updates, it is because of the General Data Protection Regulation Act, which is a European Union law. But a lot of companies do business in the EU, and so
they have to
comply with it. And in fact, even if you don't do business in the EU, but you have European Union users.
You have to protect those users' privacy.
Yes, you must. You must.
And so, basically, the law now is such that they cannot send you an email unless you put you on a subscription list, unless you explicitly agree to go on that list.
So a lot of companies have realized that they didn't explicitly get explicit agreement for explicit inclusion in their explicit mailing lists. And so they're now going back to all of their customers going, do you still want to hear from us? Because if you do, you need to click this button. As I joked the other day, the GDPR actually stands for the General Decimation of PR Mailing Lists.
Absolutely.
Because that's kind of a problem.
What's going to happen now is if you don't respond to these mailers and these organisations obey the law as they're supposed to, then they've got to stop sending you stuff.
So they've been ramping it up.
Isn't this terrible?
No, they've been ramping it up. So
you should see the smiles on the guys in the studio at the moment.
Yeah. So the legislation went into effect on the 25th.
Friday.
Which is the 26th in Australia. Actually, no, it's not really, because that's more of in the US.
Yeah.
But there's been a hilarious number of poor interpretations of it. Now, the GDPR requires that companies are more open with you and more transparent about how they handle and how they use your information. So this is why a lot of them are updating their privacy policies, so that they are a lot more open about what they do.
Transparent is the word you're looking for.
Yes, a lot more transparent. I was trying to avoid using transparent twice because it's quite see-through. But the
I see.
Yes, no, you don't. But One of the things that I saw, which I thought was quite an interesting reaction to this on Twitter, was one of my friends tweeted that because of the GDPR, companies are suddenly really nervous about what they do with your personal data, because now there's legal ramifications if they do something that they didn't tell you that they were going to do, or if they've not disclosed part of its usage. And this is probably one of the best things ever for how companies deal with personal information, because
absolutely,
companies hold an enormous amount of our personal data, and there is a feeling that a lot of them have been playing pretty fast and loose with it over the last few years, and now
you're not going to mention any names in this regard.
No, I don't think we need to mention names in this, but there's now companies actually have to disclose what they're doing with your data and how they do it and who they share it with. And it does seem to be making companies a little bit nervous about some of their financial doings and what they do with their data. And I think that's good.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, what's one of the more unusual devices that you've seen? So GDPR has become a verb in the last few days, because as the legislation has come into effect, there's been a number of ramifications around the internet. The best one that I've seen is someone woke up and found a GDPR compliance statement on their fridge door.
Like that one
that's
there.
That's the one that you've just shown me there, yes?
On a Samsung fridge.
Yep.
Family Hub Privacy Notice, Samsung Electronics UK Limited, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
So,
stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
So that's one. Second one that I've seen that is unusual is for a website. I can't remember who it is, but they're...
It's probably not the only one.
But if you go to... If you don't agree with their policy, with their new policy, then they will take you to a text version of the website.
That's actually a good thing.
It is.
Yeah. So along those lines, I believe it was USA Today.
Yes.
They actually took their website down, and people started complaining, saying, "Oh, what must they be doing with our information if they're just going to choose to not provide their service to Europeans?" And it turns out that they were working on providing a non-tracking version
of the European version that
doesn't
track.
I've got some
numbers for you. Good. Here,
yes,
Jason.
I was about to cite them, but please do.
Okay, if you go to the US site for USA Today, it is a 5.5 megabyte site, and it contains 835 requests loaded from 188 different hosts.
USA.
If you load it from France. Now, remember, the US site was 5.5 megabytes.
Yep.
If you load it from France, it's 297 kilobytes.
Mm. Much smaller, much faster.
36 requests and no third-party content.
Just goes to show you what the web could be if we managed to find a way to balance up all of the commercial aspects of how companies want to use the internet and use our data. versus real-world browser performance.
Exactly. Those numbers really do stand out. They really say a lot, don't they?
They really do. Now, if you are drowning in privacy update emails, I was going to say earlier that as they've been getting closer to the go-live date of the legislation, the emails have been slightly needier.
Yes.
Basically, the first one you would have gotten a few weeks out would be like, hey, our privacy policy is updating and this. And then, and I got a couple of these this week. We haven't heard from you yet. You have to push the button if you want to keep receiving our emails. And then finally, like the last thing is like at midnight on Friday night, it was like, you're a valued customer.
No, I've never done anything with you. You bought my name and email address off a list. Go away. This is Nolan Batley. We're getting into some old Aussie music here. And when my blue moon turns to gold. I can't read it from there.
Memories that linger in my heart. Memories that make my heart go cold. But someday then they're gonna live again, sweetheart. And my blue moon again will turn to gold. When my blue moon turns to gold again. When the rainbow turns the clouds away.
Thank you for agreeing to our new terms and conditions. We will be proceeding with the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at radio2rdj.com as long as you click the I'm Not a Robot and Please Subscribe Me button.
We'll come to the I'm Not a Robot button checkbox momentarily. But in the meantime, I thought that was a very vivid entree into this segment of the show, Jason.
It is. I have a feeling that we don't have quite as long as I thought we would to talk about this.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Very perceptive of you, Mr. Murray.
So it is vivid time in Sydney. It is the most wonderful time of the year if you are into photography or other things, because there's lots of events to attend, and they call it vivid as now lights, ideas, and music. But for me, the light is certainly the most important. There's a lot of really interesting installations around the Sydney CBD to go and take photos of. And that is exactly what I've been doing the last couple of nights. Not tonight, because my feet were really sore after Friday and Saturday nights. But I have taken out some of the best camera phones on the planet. And I've been doing a little bit of a shootout with them to not necessarily decide which is the best, but probably try to decide where the strengths and weaknesses for each camera lie. So I have taken the Huawei P20 Pro, which is my current phone of choice, the HTC U12 Plus that we were talking about launched this week, and I do have one in my pocket for the terms of photographic comparisons, a Google Pixel 2 XL, and a Samsung Galaxy S9.
And you've been taking photos around town.
I've been the most annoying person in the Vivid crowd, because I would take a photo of something and then swap phones and then take a photo of it again, then swap phones and take a photo again. Yeah, if you were watching me move around, I'm sorry. So I've managed to take some pretty stunning photos with all of these phones over the last couple of nights. I do think that this is not really too much of a surprise. I do think that the Huawei P20 Pro is capable of taking the best photographs.
And you'd say that it's better than the Galaxy S9? Because I'm very impressed with the S9. Let me
qualify. So the Huawei is capable of taking the best photos, but you do have to work for it.
Okay.
You don't get those best photos for free. Its best photos are often taken in night mode, which does require you to have a steady hand or put the phone into a tripod.
Right.
Now, what I did find, and so let's talk a little bit about the new boy on the block, the HTC U12 Plus. It's coming with a DxO Mark score of 103, which makes it second only to the P20 Pro, and those results are pretty much borne out by what I saw. It exposes quite bright in the dark, which is interesting, but it also keeps detail in that exposure, and I think that's the HTC's HDR Boost 2 feature at play there.
Yep.
I've published a couple of photos on my Instagram just sort of detailing how the HTC saw Vivid. One thing that surprised me last night was that the Galaxy S9, it would look like it wasn't taking such a great photo on the screen, but once I actually got home and looked at them, the photos are really good. And I also realized that I'd put almost the least effort into those photos. It's literally a case of point and shoot. And so I think it's fair to say that Samsung is probably one of the better all-rounders.
Okay.
Because you can just point it and shoot and it will do well. And, of course, the Pixel 2 XL, when it came out last year, it was one of the best camera phones on the market, and it still is. The one thing that disappointed me about it is it doesn't actually have any manual controls. You need to install an app to do it.
Okay. This is a guy called Leon Redbone, and the track is called Moonlight Bay.
Bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, radio2rdj.com. Now, Jason, you mentioned earlier about the I am not a robot checkbox.
I did.
I have seen an instance this week. This is our useless gadget very quickly. Oh, it is the car dealer in America who printed off a form from the web which included a checkbox that says I am not a robot, and had the person who was signing up to buy the car check the box on a piece of paper. I think that is absolutely brilliant.
So did they check it?
Pardon?
Did they check it?
They did check it.
Were they robots?
No, they weren't.
Well, it's working.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now...
So what is the 50th anniversary you've been teasing us?
50th anniversary...
For the whole show.
Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
And we can hear it. We can hear its main...
Theme.
Well, I don't want to say it's its main theme, but like it is.
Yes.
It's what it's best known as.
That's right.
Playing away in the background.
Yeah. Also Sprach Zarathustra... this is by Richard Strauss,
That's why I didn't want to say it's like the 2001 main theme, because it is its own piece of music.
It is its own piece of music, and it's a very dynamic piece of music. So I thought that we would close out the show with that. This is St. Martin's Symphony of Los Angeles. You've been listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. He is not the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
But you are, and I'm Jason.
Okay.
Murray.
Okay.
Licensed to tech.
Okay.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Take care. Go and see a movie. This one.